Okay, I think we can begin. So we want to welcome everybody to the first of the shiurim on the on this year's parak. We had a bit of a how are you? We had a bit of a big break in terms of Yontif. So now we start in earnest, as they say, in terms of the actual limud itself. So this year we've selected to study the third parak of Bava Basra, parak Cheskas Avatim, which is a very challenging parak. It's a wide-ranging parak. In the past, we've been known to do a little bit of hakdama, introduction. We'll be discussing the introductory topic here too, but as it happens, the introduction is in the parak, which sometimes can happen. So we'll begin actually from the beginning here on Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah here on beginning of Cheskas Avatim tells us as follows. So we'll go through the Mishnah. Cheskas Avatim Vaboros Hashichin Hamaaros Hashovkos Vamerchatzaos Beis Abadin Beis Hashlachin Vahavadim V'choshu Osa Peros Tadir Cheskasan Shalosh Shanim Miyom Liyom. Mishnah starts off by telling us that if you have anything connected to the karka, real estate of any sort, so if there's a dispute, this is very important. The issue here is karka or any object which is subject to dispute of ownership. There are competing claims as to who is the true owner of the field in question. So A claims that the object, that the land belongs to him. Let's say he comes forward and he proves that he was at least the previous owner. He can document his ownership up to a certain point in time. Obviously, if he could document his ownership all the way to the present, then there wouldn't be a dispute. But let's say he can document that he was the previous owner, what we call the marakama, the previous owner. And then there's a second fellow, B, who is living in the karka. And the question is whether or not he's living in his own karka or he's an illegal squatter and he is trespassing on the karka. That's really the legal question. So there's a dispute about ownership between these two people, a factual dispute, who is the proper owner of the karka. So if that dispute revolves around real estate, Ashikok, thank you. If the dispute revolves around real estate, whether it be batim, that means houses, Boros, Shichin, Ma'aros, right, all sorts of structures inside the karka, pits and other openings, caves, Shovchos, Merchatzos, a bathhouse, Beis Abadin, wine press or an oil press, Beis Hashlochin, or even Avadim. Avadim, of course, represents an interesting case. Avadim is slaves. Slaves are mobile, but they often have a halacha of karka, Avadim Hukshul Karkos. We'll speak more about that as we go forward. But at least in this Mishnah, Avadim are listed. Anything with the status of Karka, Kol Shiosa Peres Tadir, Ches Kasan, Gimel Shana Miyom Liyom. So the rule is as follows. If that person has been in this real estate, he's been living as an owner in the real estate for 3 years, day to day, so then that reinforces his claim of ownership and we'll believe him, even though the other fellow can establish previous ownership, marakam. And then the Mishnah goes on to detail some of the particulars. Sdei habal cheskasa shalosh shanim ve'ena miyom liyom. If it's a different kind of field, where the megeshamim isn't enough and has to be irrigated, the details are not important. So then, 3 years is not necessary. You can even end up with a chazakah less than 3 years. For example, Rabbi Shmuel Omer Gimel Chadashim Rishon Gimel Ba'achrona V'Shneimasar Chodesh Be'emtza Hare Yudches Chodesh. It could be 18 months. You have a year in between, and you have 3 months on either side. The idea is that this is about different crops, so you can have three crops within 18 months, and that too would be a sufficient period of time to establish a chazaka. And Rabbi Kiva says even less, chodesh b'rishonu, chodesh b'achronu, yud beis chodesh b'emtza, hare yud dalid chodesh. You can end up with as little as 14 months, And then finally, the Mishnah concludes on Rabbi Shmuel Bamed Ramon Besada. This period Besada Lavan is about a field that where you plant all sorts of things, vegetables, and so on. Aval Bestei Ilan Kanesis Tvaso Masek Azesav Kanesis Ketso Harelu Gimel Shani. That you could even end up having a chazaka quicker than 14 months because trees, the rate of change in terms of the different crops is even going to be quicker. That's the view of Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, etc. The Gemara later on will explain that mostly we accept the view of 3 years miyom liyom. We'll still have to explain this other view, but let's assume for the moment, details of the Mishnah aside, that what the Mishnah is telling us is that when there's a dispute about a piece of property or anything connected to the land, that there's a requirement of 3 years. Now, that's the Mishnah. Doesn't seem to be anything controversial in the Mishnah, except that the Mishnah raises all sorts of questions. The questions come from other knowledge. If we have certain background information, so then we're going to be a little bit puzzled about this Mishnah. What is that other information or background information? Well, what happens if there's a dispute, not about karka, but about metaltalin? Right? Let's say instead of arguing about a piece of land or a house, let's say two people dispute a watch, a pen, any other mobile object, any other piece of metaltalin. Right? A says, I'm the owner of this particular item, and he can prove his previous status as owner in one way or another through Edim. He has witnesses, or he has a shtar, he has a document which establishes that he is the owner. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, he was the owner, let's say, until a week ago, until a month ago, until 5 years ago, whatever the case may be. He was a previous owner. And the other fellow says, it's mine, and the other fellow is holding on to the object. He has tfisa. So what happens in that situation? That's the exact parallel of our Mishnah. So the rule is, chazaka kol ma shetachas yad adam areu shelo. The rule is that whoever is holding on to the object is believed, and he walks away with that object, unless the other fellow can prove that he is a thief, or that he's lying. But in the absence of evidence as the previous owner, tfisa will prevail. Holding on to the object, possession, they sometimes say possession is 9/10 of the law, right? It's not exactly true in halacha. In some cases it's 100%, and in other cases it's ineffective. It's not exactly 90%. But the idea that tfisa is a powerful force, that it, is determinative, is something which is established in a number of places. The Gemara in Masechet Shavuos, Staf Mem Vav Beis, for example, sees this as a kind of a chazaka, that, it's achzuke inshi bigazlanusa lo mechazkinan. When somebody's holding on to an object, the presumption is that it's his, not that it's a stolen object. And therefore, that presumption, that bigazlanusa lo mechazkinan, gives credibility to his claim. It's a reason that we believe it. Question what the exact relationship is between Achzuke Inshi Begazlanusa Lo Mechazkina and that Gemara in Shavuos and the more famous formulation of Motzi Mechavero Olav Araya, right? Whenever there's a dispute or a doubt that we leave things status quo, and therefore we leave the object in the possession of the Muchzak, that's an interesting question, but not for now. But that too obviously points in the direction of the effectiveness of Tvisa. So when it comes to metaltalin, the general rule is that tvisa is going to prevail. Question is, if that's true, so why is karka different than metaltalin? Why does this Mishnah say you require gimel shanim, whereas metaltalin, tvisa is sufficient? Now, we should raise another question. Raising this question may also provide an avenue to explain the first discrepancy, or maybe not. And that is as follows. There are at least two exceptions in the world of metaltalin to the rule that tfisa is going to be koveya, that tfisa will decide the matter. The two exceptions are, one is the sugya in Shavuos, and that daf, mem vav, memvdayin, etc. That's dvarim kwasuyin lahashil ulahaskil. Let's say you have a kind of object which by its nature is lent out or rented, and the claim in this case is that it's not your object that you're holding, it's my object, and I either lent it or rented it to you. So that's it's that kind of object. It's nitan l'she'ela u'l'schirus. The Rambam, we'll have a chance at some point to go through more thoroughly, but the Rambam, Minuchas Toin V'Nitan, quotes a yesh mi she'toa. There are some people who think that Dvar Masuyin L'hash L'haskir, he says, refers to, you know, what you happen to do with this object. He says, no, it means more than that. It's the kind of thing which in its nature, it's made not to keep, but to lend out and to rent. It's not just that, you know, that's what's done with this particular, that's what you're doing with this particular object. Its manufacturer already builds in or structures in, you know, this function of sharing with others or renting to others, etc. But the rule is that dvarim ha'asuyin l'hashil l'haskir, if the claim is, right, sha'alta or sacharta, so then the rule that chazaka koma shatachas yadadam areyu shalo does not apply. And understandably, because the fact that this object is in that other person's possession is obviously less compelling given the nature of this particular item. It's the kind of thing which changes hands all the time without changing bailus. Therefore, its presence in someone else's hands is not indicative of a new ownership, necessarily. It's there's no stira, there's no contradiction between this object being in B's hands and it remaining in A's ownership. It's the kind of object which that kind of transfer takes place all the time. That's dvarim huasuyin lahashir lahaskir. I'm sorry? Yeah, could be. That's a good example. The second example is what we call godros. Actually, in the context of the Mishnah says avadim, as we just read. V'havadim, right, that's one of the items mentioned in the Mishnah. If you look at the Gemara on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, just for a second, right, the Gemara here says, V'havadim, everybody have that? On Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, about halfway down. You see the two dots? It's about halfway down. V'havadim, avadim yeshlem chazaka. Gemara asks the question, is there a chazaka on avadim, on slaves? After all, ha'am Reish Lakish, didn't Reish Lakish say, ha'godros ein lahem chazaka? What are godros? Godros means anything that moves on its own. Anything that, you know, whose mobility doesn't depend on others, but it's self-motivated, self-generated. Self-generated mobility, that's godros ein lahem chazaka. Then the Gemara gives the answer in the end, which is very important. Amar Rava, Ein lem chazaka la'alter, aval yesh lehem chazaka la'achar gimel shan. We'll be going back to these. I'm just using them by way of introduction today. But each one of these points is a topic in its own right. The conclusion of Rava is that when we say godros, or at least when we speak about avadim as godros, not having a chazaka, why? Because their presence in someone else's domain is not compelling evidence. Right, because they could have just walked up, pick themselves up, and walk to the other person's, whether it's an eved or a behema, right? They're self-propelling. So if their presence is not a raya, and there's no chazaka, how can the Mishnah say that there's a chazaka of gimel shanim? The answer is there's no immediate chazaka like tfisas metaltalin, but there is a chazaka la'achar gimel shanim after 3 years. That's the Gemara's conclusion. The big debate is whether or not this line applies only to avadim or even to other godros behema like metaltalin. If you look at the Rashbam here, the Rashbam says umishani hadam reshlaka shenem chazaka hanimila alter shemachzik bahen bebeisar en yachalitan lakuach ubiyadi below edim ubelo raya kishar metaltalin shen yachalim lahalech. The ein asuyin lahashil lahaskir, the other point that we made, the neman bahen lomar lakuachu biyadi. Normally in metaltalin, if it's not asuyin lahashu lahaskir and it's not godros, namely it's not self-propelling and it's not something which is by its nature transferred all the time. So the rule normally is that the fellow can claim, I bought it, I acquired it, and you believe him right away. Hoviyeshno b'beisa. The b'shar metaltalin, have a chazaka la'alter, da muksak ben yachal liton, sheli, shelakachtiv, etc. Aval yesh lahen la'avadim ulegodros, chazaka la'achar gimel shanim. Shehoila lo zeham arer, limchos v'lamicha, we'll explain that a little later on. The fellow should have objected within that period of time that somebody else was stealing his object. But what Rashbam does here is that he conflates avadim and shar godros and says that both of them have a chazaka la'achar gimel shanim. If you look at the gra on the side, hagos hagra, the little os aleph, so he quotes this Rashbam. Rashbam di ramasa mishani, aval yesh, and then he says shulchan aruch simin ayin beis who something simin kuflam and hey. And then it says, "V'rambam v'shulchan aruch simin kuflam and hey kasu avadim levad." Ayin mashak kasu rabbeinu sham b'siv katan hey. The Rambam does not mention explicitly that behemos, that godros behema, have a chazak alach of gimel shanim. There's a big dispute among the mafarshim whether the Rambam thought it was obvious, and he does mention that avadim yesh lahem chazak alach of gimel shanim. Question is, avadim and kol shekein, or equally so behemos, or unlike the Rashbam, the Rambam felt that the line in the Gemara is that only avadim have lacha gimel shanim, but godros do not. There's a similar argument about dvarim huasuyin lahashil lahaskir. As we mentioned before, they don't have an immediate chazaka. They're the first exception to the rule that metaltel and tvisa simply works. Do they have a chazaka la'achar gimel shanim or not? Another question. Are these two issues hovahatalia? Are they dependent upon each other? Is it possible that, let's say, one of them never has a chazaka and the other has a chazaka la'achar gimel shanim? Just give you the example some Rishonim say explicitly. For example, that the issue of dvarim aslim l'hasha l'haskir is not affected by 3 years. They say, listen, sometimes the item can be rented out or lent for more than 3 year period. So the 3 year period doesn't have meaning when it comes to dvarim aslim l'hasha l'haskir. Is that equally true for godros? Not necessarily, probably not. There also may be reason to distinguish in the other direction, to say that maybe godros is a permanent problem and asuim lahashu lahaskir, since it's more limited, it's only if there's a tainas she'elos chirus, so that is a that's more of a limited issue, and that's subject to gimel shanim. The point is that getting back to the background information, 90% of the cases of metaltalin, and I'm making up the number, the rule is that tfisa wins. And there are two exceptions. One is dvarim masuim lahashu lahaskir, and the other one is godros. In both cases, the question is, do they have gimel shanim? Right? And it's also a question whether we should distinguish between each one of them with respect to this question. It's interesting to note that if they do have gimel shanim, their omission in our Mishnah is at least noteworthy. Because our Mishnah is the source for the idea of a dispute, right, being determined by presence of Gimel Shanim, Chazaka of Gimel Shanim. The Mishnah does include Karka, obviously, and it even includes Eved, which the Gemara initially calls Godros. But how come the Mishnah doesn't mention Behemos Godros, or Dvar Asuyin Lahashil Lahaskir? So if you conclude that these are exceptions and even Gimel Shanim doesn't help you, then their omission from the Mishnah is perfectly understandable. If you think that they're like the majority of Rishonim, that Gimel Shanim works even for these rogue Metaltalin cases, so then why aren't they in the Mishnah? So you might say they're not in the Mishnah because they're exceptions and the Mishnah is focused on Hukshel Karkos, or you might say that the chazaka of Gimel Shanim relating to Karka is different than the chazaka of Gimel Shanim that applies to the exceptional cases of Metalta. And even though the Gimel Shanim, the period, is the same, they work in totally different ways. And I'll explain what I mean just a few minutes quickly, and then we'll be getting back to some of the ideas. So basically, in terms of background, we already have Metaltalin. The first question is, why the difference between Miyad, La'alter, an immediate Tfisa winning, and Gimel Shanim? That's question number one that we have to deal with. Question number two, when it comes to the exceptions of Metaltalin, what I'm really asking is, do they also have Gimel Shanim? If so, does it work the same way as Karka? Or are there two ideas of Gimel Shanim? The one in the Mishnah that applies to Karka and Avadim, and a different Gimel Shanim that applies to the rogue Metaltalin cases. And if so, we have to explain why and what. There's another question to raise, or two other questions to raise, before we move on to the first point in the Gemara. The term chazaka, right? We call this cheska sabatim, and we speak about it in terms of gimel shanim, 3 years. So the Ritva has a comment right on the right immediately in the Mishnah, which I have here. Again, the page number should be page two. The first Ritva on that page says cheska sabatim. The Ritva says, Pirish, Kol ha-chazakos ha-niskaros pekan heim chazaka shel raya. Everybody have that? The chazakas that we're speaking about, says the Ritva, refer to cheskas raya. As opposed to what? Du kmua b'mokum shtar v'edim. The einzu chazaka dekinyan ha-niskarim b'nechasim sheesh v'machrayas v'ein domo zu lezu klal. What's he talking about? The phrase chazaka can have two meanings. If you look later on in the Mishnah, on the Mishnah Mem Beis Amid Aleph, so the bottom of the Mishnah, the whole Mishnah actually is very interesting. The Mishnah talks about individuals whose chazaka is ineffective. Some people, because they're so close to the situation, if they're machzik, if they're living in a piece of karka, it doesn't prove that they're the owners, even if they've been there 100 years. Why? Because they already have a certain affinity, certain connection with this karka, and therefore their presence and the lack of, let's say, objection to their presence is insignificant or less significant. For example, ha'umnin, right, if somebody is a worker, one of your workers, ha'shutfim, if it's a situation of partnership, ha'risin, sharecroppers, all these people, apotropsim, people who, right, oversee on your behalf, their presence can be explained in other ways, and therefore the silence as a response to that presence can also be understandable, and therefore in these situations there is no cheskas gimel shan. Ein lem chazaka. Lo ish chazaka b'nichse ishto, lo isha b'chazaka b'nichse bala, lo av b'nichse haben, lo ben b'nichse haav. Meaning, again, all these situations, we understand that the dynamic is a bit different, and the rule of chazaka after 3 years doesn't apply. So then the Mishnah concludes and says, "Bamedvar mamurim b'machzik, aval b'nosei matana v'ha'achin shechilku b'machzik b'nichse hager nal v'godar uparatz kol shehu arezu chazaka." So what does the end of the Mishnah mean? This idea that the following individuals do not have a chazaka because their presence is, less significant, right? It's something that is predictable, let's say. That's true when it comes to the question of Raya's Chazaka, in the context of Toin V'nitan, when there's a dispute regarding ownership, and the question is, who is the real owner? So we say, listen, Ha'av B'nichsei Aben, or Aben B'nichsei Ha'av, Abal B'nichsei Ishto, Isha B'nichsei Abal, is not proof of anything. However, if we weren't talking about the Raya, the proof, the Chazaka of the proof variety, right, to establish which claim is authentic, but rather, we were talking about the issue of kinyan. What do we mean by kinyan? The following. Let's say I willingly agree to part with my property, to sell it to you, or to give it to you as a gift. Right? Now, that's not a dispute. There the issue isn't, right, proof. There the issue is, was there or was there not a technical, formal, legal mode of acquisition? A kinyan. Was a kinyan made properly or not? Because if I decide to transfer property to you, but I don't do it properly, right? So all my good intentions notwithstanding, I still own the property. Right? I mean it, I was sincere, I'm an honest man, there's no question that I intended to give it to you, I said I'm giving it to you, but if the Maisa Kinyan, right, was ineffective, then I'll pidin, the piece of Sada or Metalton, as the case may be, doesn't transfer. So you always need a proper Maisa Kinyan. Now one of the Kinyanim of Karka is Kazaka. The Mishnah says in Kiddushin that Karka's nicknames the Gimel Drachim, right? Kesef, Shtar, Chazaka. So what the Mishnah here is telling us is, even though Umnin, and Shutfim, and Arisin, right, and Aputropsim, and Ish B'nichse Ishto, and Ben B'nichse Aviv, even though they don't have Rayas Chazaka, if you choose to sell your property to them, they can have Kinyan Chazaka, Noal, Godar, Paratz, if some constructive act is done on the Karka with the intention of that being the Maisa Kinyan in a consensual agreement between the parties, then title changes. Then the Kinyan is Chal, the Kinyan is effective. In other words, there are two types of Chazaka. There's Cheskas Raya and there is Cheskas Kinyan. Now, what is the relationship between Cheskas Kinyan and Cheskas Raya? That's the question. So one could say, there is no relationship whatsoever. It's a linguistic, commonality that is legally, let's say, insignificant. Maybe it would have been better if we could have come up with a phrase, which wouldn't have confused us. But language aside, and probably, it's not a coincidence that we use this common term. In both cases, we're talking about doing things which make you, which demonstrate, a relationship of ownership. One on the level of raya, right, indicating that you probably are the owner. The other, that is its mode of acquisition. That's the method of the kinyan itself. But that aside, that's more of a coincidence according to this perspective. And there's kinyan chazaka and raya's chazaka, and the two are totally independent, one of the other. And that's what the Mishnah means to say when it says people who are not capable of one certainly can be involved in the other. Or the terminology is not just coincidental and not just convenient, but it is substantively, legally, halachically significant. The fact that we use the same phrase is because these are overlapping concepts. And that overlap, in theory, could take place in both directions. Maybe there's what to learn from the world of Kinyan Chazaka to the way in which Raya's Chazaka works, and vice versa as well. So the Ritva comes to respond to that question. When he quotes our Mishnah, right in the beginning, he says, don't confuse Raya's Chazaka and Kinyan Chazaka. The two are totally independent. The Ilu Cheskas Kinyan Hu Tikun Begufa Shel Karka. After all, Kinyan Chazaka is objectively when you do some constructive action, right, which upgrades, which improves the karka. That's kinyan chazaka. Kinitznan, according to the Mishnah, noal godar paratz harezu chazaka. The achilas peros, for example, says the Ritva, ain't a konen. And if you were to eat peros of the karka and not do constructive act in the gufa karka, remember, you're trying to be konen the gufa karka. So let's say you eat the peros and not you don't build anything on the karka itself. So the Ritva says that would not be an effective kinyan. Could it be the name of Pirkin? The ilu cheskas raya hi behefech. The tikune naraya. If you were to do a noal godar paratz kol shehu, or even not kol shehu, significant in the karka, that would not be a raya's chazaka. Could it mean the kaman meimar omar kol shivi de karba liel be? The contrary, the guy sees you're doing a construction project which upgrades the value of his field, he's not going to start complaining, right? At least not until it's all over. So construction or maisa begufa karka, that's not a rayas chazaka. Achilas peros is a rayas chazaka. Right? Ein chazaka el achilas peros, b'shufi, kederach shabai lemochle. So the Ritva has a very clear view that rayas chazaka lechud and kinyan chazaka lechud, and he shares that perspective with us right at the beginning of the parak. However, it seems that that idea is disputed by two very prominent authorities. Number one, in a more subtle way, Rav Haigon. Rav Haigon wrote a sefer called Mekach HaMemkar, a sefer Mekach HaMemkar, in which he codified, kinyanim basically. That's his, that's his long essay on Hilchos Kinyanim. And in sefer Mekach HaMemkar, he says, now I'm about to tell you Avad Chazaka, he says, and you should know that there are two types of Kinyan Chazaka. And he goes on to explain. One is what we call Kinyan Chazaka, Noal Godar Parat, the Mishnah in Kiddushin, and this last line of the Mishnah in Bava Basra, Mem Beis Samad Aleph. And then he says, and then there's the other Kinyan Chazaka, the one which wins you the Karka in the context of a dispute. And of course what he's describing and goes on to describe at length is the beginning of the parak, the Mishnah of Cheskas Abatim, and the sugyas of Cheskas Raya. Sharp, sharp contrast to the later view of the Ritva. But not only that, again, we'll have a chance to speak about this more fully, this would appear also to be the position of the Rambam.
Why is that called a Kinyan?
So he uses the word Kinyan loosely here, in the sense that you are going to win this case, and therefore you'll be able to retain the ownership that is demonstrated by your presence. But he obviously doesn't mean it in the same sense that we normally understand a Kenyan, which is the mode of acquiring something. My point is the fact that he uses that phrase loosely, and that he integrates one into the idea of the other, indicates that he thinks that the overlap, that the term is not just coincidental, but that it's a substantive legal term. And the more difficult it seems to be, the more convincing it is that that's what he means. To highlight this, this also seems to be Shitas HaRambam, who seems to have been influenced by this Rav Haigon. There are two, at least two, possibly three Gemaras in this Perek, which talk about cases of Cheskas Raya, which the Rambam codifies twice. And that's an amazing thing. It's clear that the cases are cases of Cheskas Raya. I mean, a dispute and question whether or not the presence of an individual squatting or living in the karka is effective or not. That's the case. And the Rambam codifies that in Hilchos Toin V'Nitan, which is the proper place to discuss the dinim of Cheskas Gimel Shanim of Cheskas Raya. But then he takes the same case, only from that Gemara, and he also quotes it in Hilchos Mechira, where he talks about Kinyan Chazaka. It's an amazing thing. I think I have them. I'm not sure if it's in the... How many pages did we do in the end? All of them. Wow. Thank you so much. Okay. So we should have them. So look, for example, just to... Again, we'll get back to this and the significance of it, but I just think it's an amazing... Especially in light of the Ritva... and the Ha'ara about Rav Haigon, it's just a very, very important idea. Let's look first at the Gemara Chav Tesam and Beis for a minute. Again, we'll be going through these straight, but just by way of Hagdama, just to understand what we're dealing with. Chav Tesam and Beis, towards, I would say, two-thirds of the way down, the Gemara says, Maskiflo Rav Bibi Bar Abaya. Everybody have that? It is 3, 6, 9, about 11 lines up from the bottom of the page. So the Gemara says, Maskeflor of Bibi Barabaya. Elameyata. Tsunma. Bame yikne. Tsunma is something that is a rocky terrain. In other words, where there's no, you can't grow anything. Can't plant anything. Can't cultivate the soil. So tsunma, bame yikne. How are you going to acquire a piece of land? Or how are you going to establish? Actually, it's interesting. The language of the Gemara here is yikne. Right, even though the context of this whole Gemara is Cheskas Gimel Shanim. That may have been something that impressed the you know, Rav Haigon in Mechachomemkar and the Rambam to do what he just did, which I'll show you in a minute. So the Gemara says, Ela ba'akume ba chiyusa u'mishtecha ba peri. The way to establish your ownership, your kinyan, on this karka is through spreading out peros or letting your animals roam on this piece of land. Since you can't cultivate the soil, so the way to establish that you are the owner, the muxakos, is by means of shtichas peros and akume ba chiyusa. So if you look at the Rambam on the side here, I don't know if I copied that one. The Rambam has this halacha in Perek Yud Beis Halacha Tezayin in Hilchos Toin V'Nitan. I'm sorry, Perek Yud Beis Halacha Yud Gimel. You have yours, if you don't mind. I think that one I didn't produce. Thank you. So you're already starting your the right foot. So Yud Beis Yud Gimel. This hopefully has the right halacha. Haya hamakom shehichzik bo. Sela, stones, or chalamish, she'ena roi lizria, tzorich lihonos bo bedavar haroi lo. You have to benefit from it in a way that is appropriate for it. Kagon sheyishtach bo peros o yamid bo behema ukiyotze bazeh vimlo nanebo kolosim gimel shanim bedavar haroy lo lo huchsak. What is Rambam talking about in Perik? This is Perikid Beis, Perikid Aleph, Perikid Beis, Perikid Gimel, Perikid Dalid, Perik Tezvav. All these halachos in the Rambam are about disputed property and cheskas raya. So the Rambam says if you want to establish cheskas raya on a rocky terrain, what you need to do is shtichas peros or akume chayos, etc. Fine. But then the Rambam does something amazing, and that is, quote this halacha also in Hilchos Mechira. Look at Perek Aleph, Hilchos Mechira, which we have here. And this, these sheets will carry us for a few weeks. Hilchos Mechira, Perek Aleph, is on page 7. So look at Perek Aleph Halacha Tezvav. Hoysa karka tzchiach sela, she'en ba lo gader ve lo pirza. Right? There's no no gader, no break, no breach. The ena bazria, harei chazaka shekona osa, shtichas peros, o hamadas behema sham, ukiyotza bazeh mishara tashmish. In other words, the Rambam took a single Gemara in the heart of Cheskas Abate and Cheskas Raya, and what did he apply it to? Kinyan Chazaka. The Ravid didn't like it. Omer Avram, or Hasagas Ravid, sorry. Hoysa Karka Tzchiach, Omer Avram, Ha Milsa Lo Mechavra. This seems to be incorrect, says the Ravid. Daha Chazaka Achilas Perosi. This is equivalent to Achilas Peros, because you're not doing anything to the Gufa Karka. You're just using and benefiting from the Karka. The Achilas Peros, lo mahani, ala keneged taina. If you're talking about Raya's Chazaka, where there's claim and counterclaim, and the question is who's telling the truth, whose position is more compelling, Raya's Chazaka, so Achilas Peros is the way to go. And that's what the Gemara is talking about. Avala mikna ba'ara, but it's a Kinyan Chazaka, lo kani, elamidi de mahani la'ara, Kein Noal Gadar Parat. The Ritva's view is the view, right, stated earlier by the Ravid. So if the Rambam did this once, right, it would be remarkable, right. If he does it more than once, you know, then it's just, you know, an ironclad case. So look again on Lamed Hey Omid Beis, a very important Gemara that we're going to get back to anyway.
The Ravid's time, it seems like a very good time. Why is this different than Achilas Peros?
Well, the assumption is that you can't have a kinyan through Achilas Peros. Probably the Rambam disputes that. That's exactly the point, as we'll see in the next line. You're absolutely right. The Ravid, the Ritva said it as a Davar Pashat, as if it's a Gemara. And the Ravid understood it that way. There's a certain Gemara later on in Nun Zayin Amud Beis, which can be read that way. It's hard to know how to read that Gemara. However you read it, it's difficult. But The Rambam clearly didn't think this was correct, and we'll see in a moment. This is another Gemara. The Gemara here says, Chazkasan Gimel Shanim Yom Liyom V'chule. Right, referring to our Mishnah, 3 year Chazaka from day to day. So the Gemara says, Amrab Abba, Idolile Ihu Gufe, Tzana Deperi, La'alter Hava Chazaka. If the fellow, the Marakama, hands the Machzik, again, we have, you know, the previous owner, and we have the guy who's living in the land. Let's say he hands him over a basket of fruit from the karka. Right? And this is witnessed by two witnesses. So then, instead of having to wait 3 years to establish his presence, right, to authenticate his claim, he'll be able to claim immediately and win the case, right, because the other fellow handed him peiros. So the Gemara says, Amrav Zvid, okay, v'imtan v'amr l'peiros haradativ, Neman, etc. Okay, fine. Unless the guy says, I handed him over at Peros because I gave him the Peros rights to this karka, not because he's the owner. But if he doesn't make that claim, right, then the chazaka will take place immediately. Now, what is this Gemara talking about? The Mishnah. What's the Mishnah talking about? Raya. And indeed, this halacha too is quoted in the Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph, halacha Tes. Of Hilchos Toin V'Nitan, Yud Aleph Tes, this you don't have, or you might have it, actually, Yud Aleph, I'm not sure if I can't quote that. Hevi Reuven Edim Shezesh Shimon Bala Sada Kiveitz Peros Sada Zu Unasanam Lo. Right? You can bring proof that the fellow, you know, accumulated some fruit and put it in a basket and handed it over to him. Tamod HaSada Biyad Reuven. That's the halacha. The fact that he's handing him over Peros is tacit acknowledgement that he really is the new owner. So the Ram quotes halacha and Cheskas Raya. Now go back to the sheets again, and you'll see Perak Aleph Hilchos Mechira Halacha Tezayin, the next halacha. Ramam says Hamocher Sada Lechavero. Everybody have it? Again, back to page 7. I'm not sure if this previous halacha was quoted also, was it? The other one was too? Oh, it was. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yud Aleph Tes on the bottom. Good. Okay, anyways, Aleph, Mechira Aleph Tezayin. Hamocher Sadal Lechaver V'nichnas Ba'alokeach V'zara Ba'onara. Person sells the land to his friend, and the fellow comes in and he starts, planting and threshing. O She'asaf Peros Ha'ilon. Or he gathers a fruit, ozimro, zumro, prunes it, v'chol kiyotze b'dvar meilu, hareza kana, sharei hichsik, v'ein echad mehem yachol achzer bo, that's a kinyan. V'chein, im osaf hamocher, if the previous owner gathers together sal shel peros, v'nosan l'lokeach, and he hands it over to a lokeach, kana lokeach miyad v'chazaka, he immediately acquires it through a kinyan chazaka. Shaharei gila daito shehikna l'sadazu kinyan gamur v'nasa perosei ashala. Now, it may be true that gila daito, that he affirms, you know, his ownership or his title, but is that also make it a maisa kinyan? And that's again what the Ravid doesn't like. The Ravid says, Amravram kol zeholech al derech shekasad. Look at my previous hasaga. This is all wrong. So the Rambam twice took a Gemara that applies to Cheskas Raya and applied it twice. He codified the same one halacha in two different places for two different dinim. In both cases, the context is Cheskas Raya. He extrapolated from Cheskas Raya to Cheskas Kinyan on his own. How did he do that? Only because, like Rav Haigon, he thought that the relationship between Cheskas Raya and Cheskas Kinyan was not just in name only, like the Ritva did, but that there is a substantive connection, and he partially reveals what that substantive connection is by saying, Shari Gila Daito Shehiknala Sadazu Kinyan Gamur Vinasa Perosah Shalom. That treating someone like a Bailim is part of the story of Kinyan Kazaka. We'll get back to this, I don't want to do the whole Rambam right now, but this you see here, there's also a reference here to Hilchos Sechiyu Matana. The Rambam here says that when it comes to Hefker, this kind of Kinyan doesn't work. And the Ravid says, No, that doesn't make any sense at all. But it makes a lot of sense when you look at the whole picture. For the Rambam, we'll get back to that. There's a third Gemara, and that's about Nichsei Akum, or Cheskas Akum. Again, the continuation of the Gemara in Lamed Hamed Beis, the Gemara says, Haba Machmas Akum Ein Lo Chazaka, Ela Bishtar. You see the bottom line? Omar Rav. Yisrael Haba Machmas Akum Hareu Ka Akum. Ma'akum Ein Lo Chazaka Le Bishtar. Af Yisrael Haba Machmas Akum Ein Lo Chazaka Le Bishtar. The bottom line of Lamed Hey Omed Beis. And if you follow through, again, the Rambam quotes this halacha in both places, in Ilchos Torah and Beditan, in terms of Rayas Chazaka, and he repeats it again in Ilchos Mechira in the context of Kinyan Chazaka. So just to sum up so far, there seems to be a major debate among the Rishonim about the relationship between Rayas Chazaka and Kinyan Chazaka. According to the Ravid and the Ritva, these things have either nothing or very little in common. Essentially, the halacha is, you know, one of raya, and it focuses on achilas peros. The other halacha has to do with kinyan, and therefore it's about the guf hadavar. And according to the Rav Haigon and the Rambam, there is a link between kinyan chazaka and rayas chazaka. That's clear in Rav Haigon by the way he structures his presentation. And for the Rambam, it's even more striking. He takes two or three Gemaras that appear in one context and he applies them to two totally different halachos just by extrapolation. So the first question that we raised was, what is the relationship between Karka and Metaltalin in terms of Rayas Chazaka? And, you know, part B to that question was, and what about the two exceptions to Metaltalin? Godros and Dvar Masuim L'Hashal HaSkir. That's one set of issues that we have to discuss. The second question that we're raising now is, what, if any, is the interrelationship between Kinyan Chazaka and Rayas Chazaka? There's a third question to raise, and then we'll start going back to the first one and analyzing some of the details. The third question is what the relationship is between two types of Rayas Chazaka. We find in the first parak of Bava Basra, and it appears also in the Mishnayos and some of the Gemaras in the end of the third parak, the idea of Cheskas Nezakin or Cheskas Tashmishin. Let's say we both agree that, you know, that I wasn't, I'm not the real owner. That you are the owner of this property. What is the significance of your having allowed me, right, to take certain liberties with your property for a certain amount of time? Let's say I constantly, walk through your property, to get to my property or to get to the Rishus HaRabbit, and you don't object. Right? Do I somehow acquire the right to continue to do that? Or let's say I'm doing something which objectively seems to be damaging you. At what point do you forfeit the right to prosecute me, for that level of damage? Right? That's called Cheskas Tashmishim and Cheskas Nezakin. And that's a very important topic in the first parak, as I say, and in the end of the third parak. The end of the third parak, a number of the Mishnayos are dealing with that issue. What is the relationship between that topic, Cheskas Tashmishim, Cheskas Nezakin, and that's one topic, we'll call it, and Cheskas Gimel Shanim, the Chazaka of Raya. Now, there are two issues which are contentious when it comes to Cheskas Tashmishim and Cheskas Nezakin. One is, do you or do not need a taina? The second is, even when it comes to karka type usages, but also possibly other usages, is it la'alter or is it la'achar gimel shanim? Is there a three-year period there, or is it immediate? And do you need a claim or not? When it comes to cheskas raya for karka, we know that there's gimel shanim, right? Not for metaltalin mostly, but the other factor is that there's an important mishnah mem aleph amud aleph, which says as follows: kol chazaka. Have it here on the top, second line down. or third line down. Kol chazaka she'eini mataina, eina chazaka. Any chazaka, which is not accompanied by a claim, does not constitute a chazaka. What does that mean? Ketzad. Omar lo ma ta'osa b'tok shali. You have this guy squatting in somebody else's property. He's living there. He could be living there 10 years. He's living there 15 years. Right? And then the owner comes to him and he confronts him and he says, what are you doing here? V'hu omer lo, and he says to him, shala omar li adam davar me'olam, I'm here because no one has previously objected to my presence. That's why I am here. Okay. Not a very good excuse, obviously. The question is, can you build a chazaka on that? So the Mishnah says, ain't a chazaka. No good. Shemachartali, shenasatali b'matana, avicha machrali, avicha nasnali b'matana. If I say, well, you sold me this property. Your father sold it, you gave it to me, your father gave it to me, gifted it to me, then hareza chazaka. And then the Mishnah concludes, v'habam mishum yerusha, eino tzarech taina. If a person is inherits a piece of property, thought he inherited a piece of property from his father, and then the previous owner, the Marakama, comes and says, why are you squatting on my land? Right? So then, even though he doesn't know how his father came to this piece of karka, so he says, listen, I assume that my father, again, if he admits and says my father was squatting, my father, put his stake down here and no one ever, raised any questions about it, we'd throw him off the karka as well. But if he says, I don't know, my assumption is that my father bought this property or was gifted this property somehow. So then the rule of taninan, l'lokeach, taninan l'yoresh, applies, meaning we project a taina on his behalf. That too, then, is chazaka shigeshi mataina, although the fact that we extend taina, even in the context of safek, to someone, psach pichalilim, someone who doesn't have the ability on his own, is surely significant in trying to figure out or pinpoint exactly what the role of taina is. The point is that cheskas gimel shanim requires some sort of a taina. Does cheskas tashmishim or cheskas nizakin, do they require a taina or not? That's the question. So this is a big machlokas. If you look at the Rashbam here on this mission on Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, the Rashbam says, "Kol chazaka sheni mataina ena chazaka, bein becheskas gimel shanim dekarkos ubatim vilanos, bein becheskas yom echad kagon hanach darmina leel achsik lehurdi mayri v'kamar tzorch liton meiza koach hichsik ba." Hilkach kibud atoin tanasam alya shebedin yar the karkaze mitoch kach hichsik kashir chazaka shamu chachamim v'zeh shaka shasak v'lomicha hava chazaka benim aru neman lomar lo al yadi and so on here the karka sheli elu shelo brishusi dimkei lama niyak inichala achzika. So the Rashbam assumes that chazaka shiyesha matayin is a requirement not only for Cheskas Raya of Gimel Shanim, but for Tashmishim and other things as well. And other Rishonim think it's not so. So this is a further question, because if we were to understand, in a very precise way how Cheskas Tashmishim and Cheskas Nezakin work, and we were try then to equate that with, or to compare that, to use that as a model for understanding Cheskas Gimel Shanim, so it would be important to know whether or not the model is a justified model. If you say that cheskas tashmishim and nizakin also require taina, also require gimel shanim, right? That understanding cheskas tashmishim and nizakin can be a pathway to understanding rayas cheskas gimel shanim. If, on the other hand, there's no requirement of taina, or there's no gimel shanim, then it's likely that even though, again, the terminology chazaka cheskas tashmishim cheskas nizakin is employed, but it's just convenience of terminology alone. In fact, we're dealing with two different topics, and one is unlikely to shed light on the other. Okay, so having said that, so basically we have three big issues that we would like to to use as kind of background and a way of illuminating our Mishnah Cheskas Gimel Shanim. One is Metaltalin and Metaltalin's exceptions. The other is cheskas kinyanim, and the third is cheskas tashmishin unizakin. These are the three things that we should keep our eyes open about. Let's start with the issue of metaltalin, since that's the most important issue. So how do we understand that tfisa in metaltalin, the general rule, is immediate, la'alter, there's an immediate impact, chazaka, kol ma shetachas yadam harei u'shelo, and yet when it comes to karka, there's a requirement of gimel shanim. Is one the exception and the other the rule? Are they just different? What exactly is going on? I mean, it's even just if you muse about it, it seems that one could argue that there are two different ideas here. After all, metaltalin is something which is very finite and which is, you know, destructible. When a person has control, shlita, tfisa, on metaltalin, we can understand why that gives him or puts him in a position of power. He can make the object disappear, he can destroy it, he's physically completely controls it and envelops it. Karka, on the other hand, karka liolam amades, right, all things being equal, you could, you know, definitely you know, cause its value to decline, but all things being equal, karka is enduring, and the relationship, therefore, that one has with karka is just different than the relationship to metaltalin. The idea of control, power, control over destiny is not a concept which applies easily to karka. So is it possible that when it comes to metaltalin, the idea of there is a tfisa, and therefore, kol ma shetachas yadam harei u'shelo, there's legal significance to that tfisa. When it comes to karka, on the other hand, the fact that you are, you know, able to control its use, you know, for a certain amount of years is one thing, but no one really holds on to karka. Moshe Lamad Avardome, we've spoken in the past about some of the other distinctions between karka and metaltalin, and while most Rishonim do not put this issue in that light, but there's at least one line in the Yerushalmi that possibly does. Yerushalmi tries to explain why Avadim is in this Mishnah. After all, even with respect to the issue that I'm raising right now, one can certainly distinguish between Avadim and Karka, right? Avadim is not the Olam Omades, right? Avadim can be moved, Avadim can be destroyed, Avadim can be controlled. On the other hand, we say Avadim Hukshu Lekarkos. When it comes to many halachos, we treat Avadim like we treat Karka. The Yerushalmi in Masechet Kiddushin on that Mishnah, the Mishnah that says that Karka's nikne begimel drachim, right, bekinyan bekesef, I'm sorry, bishtar and bechazaka. So the Rishabi discusses avadim and explains that the reason that, you know, avadim are treated like karka is because of this equation, avadim hukshu lekarkos, avadim are karka. And the Gemara says, after all, how do we know that avadim is karka? So you would have expected the usual list, ona, shavua, Gzela, these are the things that Mishnayos and other places tell us that Avadim, you know, have in common with Karka, the Mishnah in Bav Metzia, the Mishnah in Shavuos, Shmira. Instead, the Yerushalmi says, after all, look at the Mishnah in the beginning of Cheskas Amadim. It says there that the principle of Gimel Shanim applies not only to regular Karka, but to Avadim as well. That's a very big Chiddush. The Rabbeinu Gershom, here on the Mishnah, in Chav Chesam and Aleph, when he talks about Avadim, if you see on the side on the left here, 3, 6, 9, 12, about 18 lines down or so, says, Avadim shehukshu lekarkos. Right, sheoved bahem chol yom. So, Avadim hukshu lekarkos is relevant to the question of Cheskas Gimel Shanim. In a sense, it's like that Yerushalmi. So, just to, you know, build it up a little bit more, as I said, we've mentioned in the past that some of the issues where karka is unique has to do with this idea of karka being the time frame in which you look at a piece of karka, which you evaluate its worth, is larger, maybe even timeless, but certainly larger than a piece of metaltalin. Ona, best example. right? We say ein ona lekarkos. So it could be gzeres hakasa, and that's the end of the story. Or the idea might be that when it comes to metaltolin, you can assess its value by the present marketplace. When it comes to a piece of karka, while the present marketplace is important, there's a bigger picture, right? The metaltolin maybe won't be here tomorrow, and therefore maybe all that we care about is its present value. It wasn't here yesterday. But the karka, li'olam amades, was and will be, all things being equal, and therefore maybe attaching a particular price to a piece of karka is inappropriate. It's a short-sighted assessment, and maybe that doesn't determine for dine ono, and other issues as well. So is it possible that when we speak about the requirement of gimel shanim, or more to the point, that there's not an immediate tfisa which defines karka, part of that has to do with the nature, the halachic status of karka. Physically, it's not something, as I say, that you can just envelop and encompass and control. And legally, it's something where you can own it, but ownership in karka has a different meaning in some respect than ownership in metaltolin. It could be that we could take it a step further. Maybe the idea in karka is that it's more difficult to establish a relationship with a piece of karka, and having established that relationship, when you do, when you are able to accomplish it, it's also more difficult to eradicate. Being an owner of karka is more significant than being an owner of metaltolin, for the very same reason why it's more difficult. In which case, if we were to assess the difference between karka and metaltolin, one could really attack it from two points of view, and the question is whether those are, you know, two sides of the same coin, or they aren't really two different ideas. Number one, the one we just mentioned, the tfisa of metaltolin as an immediate change and as control is a lot more effective in metaltolin than it is in karka. But the second one, which parallels it, is the status of marakama in karka is a lot more formidable and more difficult to overcome than the status of marakama in metaltolin. Once you establish a connection to karka, and it's nikra al shimcha, right, that status of marakama is something which has a life of its own. I think that there is evidence that these are not just two sides of the same coin, but that these may be two different ideas. A stronger marakama in karka makes for a more difficult transition. The less effective route of physical control also makes for a longer period that's necessary. So that's one approach. The approach that the difference between metaltolin and karka is part of a bigger issue, both physical properties and legal properties, in which case we would understand why establishing a raya in metaltolin, establishing raya in karka are going to be different. It still doesn't explain where we get the 3 years from. We still have to explain, well, you know, where, you know, what that time frame is or what's significant about it, but that would be an approach. A second approach would be to say that there is fundamentally no difference between karka and metaltolin. And the position that we start off with, in a sense, before we, you know, start thinking and looking for other patterns, there's a dispute in both cases about ownership. There are claims and counterclaims. In both cases, there's a dearth of evidence. We know who the marakama was, and we don't know who the present owner is. If there was a shtar, a contract, or edim, there would be no din Torah here. Right? We just don't know. The cases are the same. The solution should be the same, except for one simple factor. And that is, there's a factor in karka that artificially delays what otherwise would be an immediate tfisa like a metaltolin. What is that factor? With the Gemara in Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph, depends how to read it, I'm just going to go to the line very quickly so you know the models. What the Gemara characterizes as is dair inish bishtari. The Gemara goes back and forth in terms of the basis of Chesed Gimel Shanim. That's what we're going to be reading next week. On Chav Tes Amud Aleph here, about one third of the way down, The Gemara says, Elam Rava. There are two Ravas, this is the second one. You see the little base parentheses in the beginning of the line? Imke Nasata Drecha L'Shirim. So then the Gemara says, Elam Rava. Shata Kamaisa Mizdar Inish Bishtari. Tarti Utlas Mizdar. Tve Lo Mizdar. Okay, what that means is that when people keep records, let's say, of their purchases, of their transactions, so how long will you hold on to the contract? People don't get rid of their real estate contracts until 3 years. After 3 years, they might get rid of it. What does that mean? What is that? How does that affect things? There are different ways to read that line, and we'll get back to the different ways. The easiest way to read it is the way that the Ritva reads it. The Ritva reads this line as saying, in principle, like in Metaltalin, there should have been an immediate impact of Tvisa in Karka. There's a dispute, and one guy's living in the Karka, that's his equivalent to Tvisas Metaltalin, and we should say, call Ma Shetachas Yadodam Hareo Shalom. The difference is that, generally speaking, out there, people don't write contracts, routinely, they don't write contracts for Metaltalin transactions. You could, but it's not considered to be the norm. And therefore, if there is a dispute, and one party claims that he's the owner, and we have a chazaka, kol ma shetachas yadam hareo shalom, there's no counter-evidence, there's a marakama, that's true, and now there's a tofes, the tofes beats out the marakama, end of story. The fact that, you know, if indeed I bought the watch, watches can be expensive, maybe there should be a contract or a receipt, but let's say, you know, whatever it is, if the fact that I don't have a receipt or a contract, is that damaging to my credibility, to my claim? The answer is in Metaltalin, it's not, and therefore Tvisa being stronger than Marakama wins the day. However, when it comes to Karka, where routinely people write contracts, even if the Kinyan is not Al Yidei Shtar, let's say the Kinyan is Al Yidei Kesef or Al Yidei Chazaka, but in a real estate real estate transaction will always be document. So therefore, even though in principle the muchzakos should be the equivalent of tvisas metaltalin, nonetheless you can always counter by saying achvi lach shara, where's the shtar? If I really sold you this property, how come there's no documentation? The lack of documentation is so damaging that it tilts the scales in the other direction. That's the Ritva's comment, if you look very quickly here. Not the first Ritva, but the second one on page 2.
Why should that not be mutual?
What do you mean not be mutual?
Why don't you show me the star?
No. The person who purchases always has to have the star. He's the one with the star. He has to prove that the other one is the Marakama.
Right.
So we know that he was the owner. If you want to prove a change of title, then the star always goes to the Kohen, not to the Machner.
Is open and notorious and giving notice to the true owner.
Right.
Whereas Tvisa and Karka, one could operate under the radar.
We're going to be getting to that because that's a big issue here. The other perspective of Gimel Shanim, as we'll explain in a minute, is this question of operating under the radar, meaning whether people know about it or not, and their response or silence, and how deafening, you know, is that silence, you know, if there's not chabra chabra islay, do people know about it or not? But generally in halacha, the assumption is the opposite. The assumption is that, you know, if somebody is squatting on your real estate, you know, that's far more, there's much more of a call when it comes to that. That's not under the radar screen as much as, you know, any piece of mobilia. The assumption is that karka, which is associated with a marakama, you know, that some new owner being there is much more public knowledge than metaltalin. That's the assumption. Practically, in a given society, that might change, but that's the assumption in the Gemara. If you look here at the Ritva very quickly, so the Ritva says as follows. Again, we'll see other interpretations of that line in the Gemara Brava, but just so you should know the models. Miutzarech Talmud. Now, you know, I'll just start. Elam Rav, let's start from the beginning. The one at the bottom of the page, page 2. Elam Rav, Tama Mishim Deshata Kamaisa Vechule, Tla Shinin Lam Izdair, Kachi Girsa Besvarim HaYishanim. Vahachi Perusha, this is the interpretation. Shata Kamaisa Tarti Da Achsik Vahakate Mizdar Bishtare. The first 2 years, or up to 3 years, when a person is newly, you know, living in a field or living in a home, right, he will hold on, he will be careful about his documentation. Once he's there 3 complete years, sulo mizdar, he'll no longer be so careful. We'll explain that later. Forget about these things, we'll get to them soon. Here's the line that I'm interested in, is the next line. Miu, Tzarech Talmud. The Ritter says, I have a question. It may be true that the Gemara is telling us that people are careful about their contracts for 3 years, but Ma Inyan Sheyafsid Hala Karkao Vipneshaze Ein Lo Lihizdar Bishtare. So good, so I'm a careless consumer, you know, and I didn't hold on to my documentation. Okay, but, you know, that explains, you know, maybe why it takes me 3 years. But after 3 years, why do I get it? Because I'm not a careless consumer? I'm not a careless consumer, but where's the proof that this is my field, right? Kim delesle hashta, lo tamid kpeda, but lo tamid mechila. This is the Gemara doesn't think that their basis is mechila or kpeda, which we'll get to in a moment. So the Ritva says vanachon. The idea here is that the shuras hadin, kivin shizamachzik bekarka v'ocha b'shufi gamur, since this person is living in this field or house, and he's eating as if he's an owner, the yodim abaylim, the ina mochim, and again they know about it and they're not responding. Dinhu shetehei raya afilu ba'achila achas ke'ein shatvisa raya b'metaltalin. That's the key words. Just as a metaltalin, an immediate tvisa, creates raya, it would in theory create the same in karka. Elo dekiven dekarkos va'avadim b'nei shtari ninu. But since karka and eved are always, you know, there's always a paper trail, right? So kilo machvi shtara reyach eskaso. The problem is, as long as he is careless, it's not his carelessness, he's not being, you know, penalized for his carelessness. As long as he can't produce documentation in the period where it's expected, right, that undermines the credibility of his claim and his tvisa. But once you get beyond that period, so that there's no longer a reyasa, there's no longer anything to undermine his credibility, then it's the brute force clash between tvisas metaltalin and marakama. And just like a metaltalin, tvisa wins here as well. So the second model, again, the first model was the idea that karka and metaltalin are very different. And the idea of tvisa and karka doesn't really work. You need 3 years to get to what you have in metaltalin immediately, or maybe not even to get there, but something a little bit different. What I was suggesting about changing the status of marakama. That's model number one to explain Cheses Kimoshan. Model number two is this Ritva, the idea that really Tvisa should work immediately in Karka like in Metaltalin. The reason that Karka is an exception is for a technical reason, namely the absence within 3 years of documentation is a Raya against him. Once you neutralize the Raya against, you're back to square one where you were with Tvisas Metaltalin. The third option, or the third model, is the one which is implied by the previous line of the Gemara. The question is whether that previous line can be rehabilitated according to the last line, and that's the work that we have ahead of us in the next few weeks. So just push back a little bit on Chav Tesam and Aleph, the first time Rava talks. Elama Rava. You have that? You see the Aleph in parentheses? Right? One line below that. This is actually just easier to say. 9 lines down from the top of the page. Okay? Elam Arava. Shata Kamaisa. This is Rava's first stab at it. Right? Shata Kamaisa, lo kapit inish. Tarti, lo kapit. A person will stay silent, you know, for a year when somebody's living. You know, the poor guy's down and out, you know, on his luck. I'm not using the karka anyway. You know, let him stay there for a year, 2 years. Once you get to 3 years, cup it. Meaning, if somebody's silent beyond 3 years, the silence is a proof against him. If you take this kipshuto, now the Gemara seems to reject this, because the Gemara says, Amar le Abaye, no. 1 second. I skipped. Elameata, Amar le Abaye, Elameata, Kigon Hani, the Bar Eliashiv, right, the Kapti, right, Afila Man, the Chalif, Amitzra, Didu, Hachanami, the Laalter, Avachazaka. The, you know, there are some people who, if somebody, you know, steps foot in their karka, they, you know, will go ballistic. You know, for them, you know, silence is deafening, you know, even if it's a 10-minute silence, right? That's the question. So the other Rishonim ask, well, what about low plugs and all sorts of issues? It seems like the Gemara rejects this. We'll see that it's not necessarily so that the Gemara rejects this. What is the idea here? The idea here is that, essentially, there's no such thing as chazaka and karka. Not that it takes 3 years to accomplish what you have in Tfisa immediately or in parallel. Those are two different points too, but for our purposes right now, let's say, you know, it takes, you know, 3 years you become a muksak and you banish the impact of the marakam. That was our first suggestion. And not like our last suggestion, which is karka and metalton are fundamentally the same. The only thing is that there's a reyesa in karka within 3 years that you can't produce the evidence which you should be producing. That reyes is gone, and then you're back to tefisas metaltalin as a model. Now, we're going back to the first idea, but in a more radical way. What we're really saying is, in terms of tefisa and chazaka, karka is mufka mitfisa. There's no such thing. Because you can't wrap yourself around a piece of karka. It's not nitan letfisa. So how do you get it even after gimel shanim? The answer is, through an extraneous raya, a reyesa, to the marakama. Marakama is in the driver's seat the whole time. Right? In 100 years you couldn't get a chazaka to negate the status of the marakama, the previous owner. Not in karka. Right? Again, either because that's so strong, so formidable, or because the tfisa is just so weak. However, if he can't explain, right, silence when provocation, you know, is so great, then he loses his credibility. So it isn't that there's chazaka or tfisa, anything comparable to metaltalin at all. It's a raya from shtikas hama'arer. Okay. What difference does it make? You could have many cases, for example, where I could not prove, let's say I don't have the reyesa of izdor inish mishtare, but I also don't have the reyesa of silence. Right, let's say I can prove that the ma'arer, the marakama, leveled a complaint, right? But I can also prove that the machzik never heard about it. Right, so 4 years later, I know in year two, the ma'arer complained. He got it within his, you know, time frame of tolerance. Is there any evidence that he is anything but, you know, a true and proper owner? No. But for some reason, the machzik, it doesn't usually work this way, but let's say, it's an anomalous case, the machzik didn't hear about it. And it's already after 3 years. He doesn't have to keep his shtaros forever. At that point, is there a chazaka or not? That would be one nafkamina. There'll be plenty of others. If you take this second view, in that case you'll say there's a chazaka. That's a major machlokas Rishonim. Rabbeinu Yonah, Nemuka Yosef, the Rush, they all take the perspective that if the ma'arer was mocha, even if the machzik didn't hear about it, the chazaka is bata. And at least one view in the Tosfos Rid, seemingly the position of the Rambam, as long as the machzik can demonstrate that he really didn't hear about it, there will be a chazaka under those circumstances. So we'll continue with these three models. starting from the Shalkavatari of the Gemara next week, and we'll go through the different the way that they're understood by Rishonim is very fascinating.